Terrificon is back with more guests, more surprises, and more fun at Connecticut's best hotel and convention center, Mohegan Sun. Are you looking for an immersive entertainment experience for the entire family? Terrificon is the number one comic book convention for fans. Come and celebrate your passion for comics and their creators with your favorite actors from superhero, sci-fi, horror shows, and films. Terrificon is the best venue for purchasing comic books, artwork, pop culture memorabilia, and gaming goods. Terrificon is three full days of people from all over the world coming together to celebrate fandom and the creators that make it all possible. Join us for the adventure of a lifetime. And don't forget about our annual cosplay contest, trivia, panels, and live entertainment. Join us at Mohegan Sun Convention Center on July 28th through the 30th. Go to terrificon.com for ticket purchasing and to book your hotel accommodations. There are a lot of Comic-Cons out there, but there is only one terrific Comic-Con, Terrificon.
You're listening to Terrific Con presents the Power Cosmic Podcast, the only podcast dedicated to everything you love. That's comic books, TV, movies, collectibles, and more. Brought to you by Mitchell A.S. Halleck, the producer of Terrific Con, the world's greatest comic con every summer at the Mohegan Sun in Uncasville, Connecticut. Join Mitch and his special guest, Jerry Ordway, and his pals all across the comic fandom as they talk about the things you love. Now, sit back, get ready, and listen to today's episode of the Power Cosmic Podcast. All right, today is June 1903. I am speaking to you from the distant past. Jerry Ordway has just traveled through time.
Your coal-fired iPhone.
Yeah, exactly. Jerry, quick, put some more lumps of coal into the iPod. No, we are on our way to go see, they're going to share now, Into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
Part 2? I don't know what the hell it's called. It's something.
Further, deeper,
like you might have missed deeper, a corner. Right. It's around back. Go around back into the Spider-Verse. No, but I'm fired up for one reason. It has nothing to do with Marvel or Spider-Man. Uh-oh. It's all about Stump the Chump. Now, Stump the Chump is a radio show, right, or a radio...
Right.
Whatever.
Chaz and AJ.
So they called me today. I was on the way to Mohegan Sun to go get some Terrificon prep done. And they were like, oh, no. We need you to be on Stump the Chump. We're giving away tickets to Metallica, and we want people to call in, and if they could stump you, they win a chance to win tickets to Metallica. I'm like, whatever, boys. I'm driving. So I'm in the car. They go, well, we can't hear you too clearly. Can you hold the phone close to your mouth? They go, well, I have one hand on the wheel and one hand holding things. So I'm already in a bad mood. And as they always say before the show, they go, are you going to be energetic or are you going to be like you normally are? I go, you want coked up Mitch or do you want normal Mitch? They go, coked up Mitch. I go, okay, when the red light goes on, coked up Mitch is in the room. So bang, Stump the Chump comes on. First question, another thing. I'm going to play it with you, Jerry Ordway.
Yeah.
Since you might know a lot about the Man O' Steel, since you drew that Irish Kryptonian Man O' Steel. Man of War. Ready? Question one.
Yeah.
What was Superman's mother's name?
In the comics?
Well, there you get that. This is why it gets weird about this. No, I'm going to say on Krypton.
Well, it was Jor-El and Lara.
That's right. I said Lara, a.k.a. Mrs. L, you know, so I got that right. Okay, next question, Jerry. Where did General Zod and the other two villains come from in Superman 2?
From the Phantom Zone.
That's right. I said the Phantom Zone, a.k.a. what I call my crotch, since no one's seen that anyway. So they like that one. So we're 2 for 2, okay? Now it's starting to get weird. Okay, Jerry? What was the... What was the name of the city in the bottle inside the Fortress of Solitude?
Kandor.
K-A-N-D-O-R. We're good so far. I'm good. No one has stumped this chump so far. Here we go. Here's where the technicalities come in. Okay. What year did the Superman TV show start?
I'm just going to guess 1953.
Yeah. I said 1951. It was 1952. So okay. We were both. I say like, okay. I was close. I know because I know it ran 5 years. He shot himself in the 50s, but whatever.
Neither of us saw it in 1950s.
I wasn't around. So anyway, so that one. Okay, here's where we get a little weird. Guy goes in volume 4 of Superman. I go, I'm sorry. What'd you say? He goes volume 4. I go, you mean issue 4? He goes, no, volume 4. What villain was introduced? So I'm stymied by this. This is a little background. I'm like, what do you mean volume 4? And I'm thinking, well, volume 1 is the original Superman. Would volume 2 be the John Byrne one?
No.
And then, so I'm this is live on the radio.
He's going
and I'm trying
from
to think.
A book, right?
I don't know where they were getting it from or the internet. Yeah. Okay, so do you have an answer?
I would just say Lex Luthor.
I said Ultra Humanite. It wasn't issue 4.
Yeah.
It was volume 4 in 2015. I'm like, wait, what?
Oh, okay. So
and the guy
confusing.
Goes, it's the Black Sun.
Right.
You can go. But it said, I said, the what now? He goes, the Black. I said, I don't even know what the hell you're talking about. So he got in the running for the tickets. I'm like, okay. He stumped me on a technicality. All right, now here's where it gets weird, too. Next lady calls up, says, what was the name of the cat that Superman saved from the tree in the movie? I said Whiskers.
Oh.
It was Frisky.
Frisky.
I go, okay. And not only that, Superman also introduced corporal punishment because that poor little girl went into the house to tell her mother, Mommy, Mommy, Frisky just got saved from a tree by a man who flew. What did I tell you about lying? Smack! Right across the face.
Well, here's a deep cut.
Oh, what?
As I recall, the movie premiered. There was a special White House
That's
screening.
True.
Jimmy Carter was
1978,
still,
yes.
And from what I recall, that it created a lot of laughs because the girl was a redhead, like Amy.
Oh, Amy Carter?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah,
I didn't.
And she
okay.
Was the same age or something.
Yeah. So, yeah. That's about right. She'd be about 9 or so.
Yeah. I just remember that they said that it wasn't intended because obviously they didn't know they were going to get but because of her resemblance to Amy.
That caused...
The people who... The staff and the president and whatever got a laugh
out of it. I never knew that. Well, there you go. On Stump the Chump, they wouldn't have got that. Okay, now here is the question that drew my ire and I exploded on the radio and caused an incident tonight.
Okay.
It was a two-part question, even though I don't know why. But they said Stump the Chump, two parts.
A
now,
or two?
No, A... In what year was Superman created? And B, what were the names of the two people that created him? Go, Jerry.
I think it was created in 1934.
Oh, I'm going to hit you. Go on and name the two guys.
Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster.
Okay. I said Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster, obviously, Cleveland, Ohio, even though one of them was born in Canada. And Joe Shuster happens to have the same birthday as me, July 10th, so right. I knew that. And I said, well, Superman came out in 1938 because it's his 85th anniversary. The guy goes, wrong, King of the Nerds. I go, what are you talking about? He goes, it was created in 1933 when they met each other in high school and they talked about it. I go, no, that's not right. He goes, yes, it was when it was created. I go, no. My birthday is July 10th. I was created about 10 months earlier when my mom and dad got it on. So let's not go there. I get. He goes, well, that's when he was created, when the two guys thought of
that
it. I go,
was that their first? Their
I go, the, and I go, technically, sir. I said, technically, sir, that wasn't the Superman that we know.
Right.
That was the Reign of Superman. That was a science fiction story. It had nothing to do.
Guy,
he was a bad guy. I said, nothing. So we started going on about this. And they go, oh, my God, the King of the Nerds is blowing a gasket right here. I go, no. They go, calm down, King of the Nerds. Your blood pressure. Remember your blood pressure. I was like, this guy is wrong. So they hung up on him. His name is Roy. I go, oh, Roy.
Well,
I
they also, the tricky part of that is there's another answer, which would be when Siegel and Shuster did the proposal, they drew the first issue of Action Comics was recut from a daily and Sunday comic strip.
Oh.
They had done it as a submission to the syndicate, and they had clearly done it before 1938.
Yeah.
So maybe 37?
No.
It was kicking around.
So there's multiple answers.
But they did it, yeah. So I'm saying, like, that's a tricky, it's easier to say when was... You know, when was Action... What was the first appearance of Superman? You could say Action Comics.
Right. Which was June 38.
Right.
That's the cover date. But anyway, that was on Stump the Chump today. So I was flipping out about that. And then the other one that I got wrong. Was Black... Oh, what was the name of General Zod's spaceship? I go, wait, what? What spaceship? They go, I go, in the movie The Man of Steel? Is that what you're talking about? I go, where are you getting these questions from?
It would have to be in the Man of Steel.
Because there is no spaceship in the other ones because Krypton exploded.
Yeah, and the ship remained behind for the other movies, if you recall.
It was called the Black Star or something. I go, was it? I don't know. And they go, what kind of expert are you? I go, in a Steel movie, now you're stretching it, you know? Cause,
yeah, but the 2015 thing, Volume 4.
Oh, Volume 4. I'm like, what does that mean?
Confusing.
So anyway.
If he said Volume 4,
Issue 2, yeah.
Then you'd go.
Oh, okay, let's see. Black Sun.
So I wouldn't have gotten that, but I would have guessed, like, you know, Darkseid's daughter or something.
I know. I was like, you got me. So anyway, that was my, I was ticked off about that today. And the funny thing, the most ironic thing is, I had just finished listening on Audible.com the unauthorized biography of Superman because I had a credit. And I go, oh, what's this? Narrated by George Newbern, who's Superman on the Justice League cartoons after Tim Daly. And it was 11 hours of just like the history of Superman. But you know what the sad thing is? Why did I waste a credit? Because I knew practically all of it. And the guy got it all from this book that came out, The Complete Book of Superman, years ago. I go, I read that already. You know, what was the original Daily Planet? The Star.
Right.
What was George Taylor? Was really Perry White. All this stuff. They got this from the radio show. They got Kryptonite from... I know all this stuff.
Yeah, Lex Luthor was in the
Lex Luthor was in the radio show. Kryptonite was in the radio show. I go, why did I waste... And the... Oh, you're in it, actually.
That's why you wasted the money.
That's why I wasted the money. But no, I'm sitting there going, I know that guy. Because they go, what Jerry Ordway said, and it was right after the death of Superman, they have a quote in there from you. It's like... It was just a marketing gimmick. We knew that he wasn't going to stay dead forever. And, you know, people were going crazy about it. It said Jerry Ordway. I go, that guy? The guy on the Power Cosmic podcast. So you're mentioning there.
Let's just kill him.
Well, you know what the funny thing is? Your name came up twice this week. Were your ears burning, Jerry?
Why? What else?
Because The Power of Shazam is out. Volume 2.
Volume 2, yes.
It came out, and it was on one of these shows I watch on YouTube that shows all the latest books that come out. And apparently, your book is in the top 10 of hottest books of the week. It's not Wildstar 1. It is the green Superman, Reign of Superman green cover. It's by Jerry Ordway, Grummet. It's got a greenish cover. Is that 78 or something? Right after he died. Because apparently all the other Supermen are all in that book for the first time. You got John Henry... You got Eradicator, you got Superboy, and you got Cyborg.
And we're not talking about Adventures 500, because that's...
Maybe that's...
Technically, they all have their one page.
Well, intro. It was a greenish cover, and your name was on it, so maybe it was 500.
Superman reaching out and Pa Kent...
No, it wasn't that. No, it's not that cover.
Grummet cover.
Yeah, it was all green with, like, you know, like a starburst explosion, and it's like there's a shadowy figure reaching out. I was like, it's not the one I know you're talking about. But anyway, that was on the top 10 hottest books because of all the speculation for the new James Gunn movie about Superman Legacy. Everyone's, it's going to be this and the Cyborg and the Eradicator. No one knows what's going to be in the movie but James Gunn, but everybody's trying to, you know, milk
it. If it's young Superman, then it makes no sense to introduce those things because those things were all part of the death of
Superman. The death of Superman, exactly. And then it was the only thing that was interesting about this was it was talking about the sales of Superman and how the sales were so bad in, like, the early 70s when they didn't know what to do with Superman because people weren't buying it anymore. It wasn't appealing to the younger crowds because it was, like, an older...
Yeah,
the Al Plastino, the Wayne Boring Superman with the big chest, and then Kurt Swan came in and kind of changed it up, and then, I guess... not Mort Weisinger. What's it? Julie Schwartz. Was going to write his last issue before the crisis, because that comes up too about the crisis and how you guys changed everything. And And Alan Moore stepped in and said, "Oh, let me write the book. I want to write." You know,
so Julie was going to write.
Julie was going to end his career, 16 years as editor, and writing the last issue of Superman before they flipped him in the crisis. And Alan Moore stepped up and said, "Let me do it." So he wrote Whatever Happened to the Man of Tomorrow. That's how that started. And I never could, I didn't realize Julie was writing whole scripts. I'm like, what happened?
Julie didn't write.
He did the covers, right?
No, he didn't.
Well, he gave him an idea, and they said, oh, go write that.
Well, he used to have the writers come in, and he would throw them ideas from the covers.
Like, right.
Yeah, he would work out cover sketches with whoever was doing that in the office.
Well, according to this...
And they would come up with, like, crazy story cover ideas, which then he would...
According to the story, this unauthorized biography, he said, I don't know, he's dead now. He was going to write the last issue or two. And I'm like, I had never heard that before.
No, I didn't hear that.
Oh, you know what I didn't get right to? Name the grade school that Superman went to. And I said, well, Superman didn't go to a grade school because he's a man. It would have been Clark Kent. But do you know what the name of the school was? I said, Smallville Primary or Smallville Grade School? You know what it is?
I can't remember.
Weisinger Primary. Okay, that's total BS. I said that too. I said,
would never have honored Mort Weisinger.
That's what I said. I go, I just want to tell you something. There's no way a Smallville out in the Midwest would be named Weisinger.
Yeah, that's true. It sounds like something either.
What is that, a helicopter out there?
I don't know.
See that black thing over?
It's like either Mark Wade or. Maybe Grant Morrison would have done, or in one of the TV shows.
Right.
That's the only...
I'm like, show me where that is. I'm going to call Kupperberg on that one, because I'm like, there's no way they did it in the 60s.
I mean, they would do, like, you could see Weisinger Freak Show or Weisinger Carnival or something.
Yeah, not a school. Carlin's car lot, you know,
right.
Mike Carlin's thing. So anyway, what other Superman-y things were going... Superman-ish. They talked about the death of Superman. They brought him back. This book ends just before the Man of Steel movie comes out.
Who wrote it?
I could look it up on my iPhone, but I will later. You probably know the guy, because it seemed like he was well acquainted with all you guys. You're mentioning it. And, Juergens is mentioning it. Louise is mentioning it.
Just curious, because I said... It's on there.
It's one of those things.
Written, like, the encyclopedia.
Yeah.
The DC one.
Oh, not that Matthew Manning guy.
No.
It's not him, no. No, he's been at my show. Anyway, so that was the Superman stuff of the week. I did announce Rebecca Romaine will be at Terrificon on July 28th to the 30th, because we met her when she played Lois Lane
in the Death of Superman cartoon.
So that's her kitties.
Is she bringing Jerry O'Connell?
I don't know if we're allowed to have more than one Jerry in the room at the time. Because I'm already breaking the Mitch rule by having Mitch Gerads. And there can be only one. So I think it's just you. Well, Jerry Bingham was last year. I had two Jerrys. There's a quota. It's a state mandate. You can only have so many Jerrys in a room.
It's a Scrabble board. You haven't used up the J's.
It's a leftover from World War II. I think they got to go back
only two J's.
And fix the book. You know they just pardoned all those witches in Connecticut that they burned and hung, like, back in 1600?
And now they're coming back.
I was going to say, do they know that they're exonerated?
They lifted the spell.
Oh, you're no longer a witch. We forgive you. They've been dead for 500 years. Yeah, well...
Well, now the family can collect the insurance.
No hard feeling, Sabrina. Oh, well, that's that.
Goody.
Witchy Poo.
I think that's still
back.
Funny that that was a name.
What? Goody?
Yeah.
Was what?
Name.
The witch?
In the old Massachusetts days.
Oh, yeah. Well, there was a lot of weird names. A lot of Ezekiels.
Well, but I mean, these were all, like, kind of interestingly religious to that whatever sect.
Oh, I see.
I like that look on that kid's face. It looks like a little Kevin Maguire.
That's our Kevin Maguire. So even folks listening at home. Jerry's just pointed to a picture of a young baby who looks like he's pounding one out. And said it looks a lot like Kevin Maguire. It did actually look like Kevin Maguire, but at the same time, he looked like constipated. So maybe that's it. Kevin Maguire, if you're listening out there, we happen to think you're constipated.
I just felt like Kevin. It was
Jackpot
Kevin
Juice. There it is.
Watching my driving.
My porno name, Jackpot Juice. All right. People like, what are they talking about? We're going by billboards.
Non sequiturs.
There's Dave Billboard. Here's one for you. Do you know what review bombing is?
Yeah.
You do?
Yes.
Okay. Do you know why it happens?
Well, to tank a movie's ratings.
Before it comes out.
Yeah.
what is the deal with these people?
People have too much time in their hands.
They're attacking my Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
It's like unmercifully. I'm like, guys, you haven't seen the movie. This Rotten Tomatoes score was based on, I think it was 35 critics who saw that movie. And they gave it a 51. It was like half. I was like, Okay, first you're in France. You're at a film festival, not a movie theater.
Right.
A film. It's very, it's artsy. They're not, you know, and then
they were all drunk on wine.
They're all drunk on wine. He's fighting the Nazis, which we don't want to get into in France. But you know, at one point, they were like, hey, we're on that. Oh, wait a minute.
We're
on your side now.
They're all checking the border.
I know. They're all looking around going, oh, yeah. I think he's fighting my great uncle in this movie. So, that happened.
They're part of the resistance.
No.
They're the indie resistance. They,
no, so they were bashing this movie. And then I see this spew of people on the internet, like a feeding frenzy. Disney destroys Indiana Jones. You know, one more nail in the coffin of Kathleen Kennedy.
Well,
this is a,
Disney's
all
political
woke.
Because of the Ron DeSantis.
I have no idea why all these idiots are
Disney
out there.
Disney is now considered like a bad guy because of the fights that Ron DeSantis is.
But they're taking it out on Indiana Jones. I'm like, what are you talking about?
People are stupid.
They're
thinking just like, oh, Star Wars is woke.
Disney ruined Star Wars. And I go, wait a minute. They said there's a strong female. They have a this. What's her name? I can't think of the actress's name.
Yeah, I know.
Bridges.
Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
Oh my God, she's doing all the heavy lifting, and Harrison Ford's just standing in his own movie. He's not even going to be there. I said, okay, let's go back.
80 years old.
Let's go back when Sean Connery was in Last Crusade. He was younger than Harrison Ford is now. He didn't do a lot of the action stunts. He stood around with an umbrella and just did that stuff. And then they go, well, you know, Indiana Jones, he's not doing this. Girl's punching guys. And I'm going, did you not see Raiders of the Lost Ark? Karen Allen had a machine gun and was killing guys in that first movie and punching guys out and doing all that stuff. So it's not the first time there's been a strong female character. But these guys are going apeshit out there. And I'm like, you haven't even seen the movie.
Yeah, but see, right now it's you're defending Batman versus Superman like I was.
Oh.
I mean, there's a point where you like something.
Yeah.
And
but at least I saw that movie before
I'm
said
saying,
something.
I'm saying, like, people have some kind of bias.
Yep.
And they know they can go online. They can post reviews.
And get
and they can
clicks,
lower
likes.
The rating.
Yeah.
They've done that for political reasons besides just, you know, like hating Disney, but... Like, there was a movie about the Turkey with the... They killed, like did an ethnic cleansing thing in the...
When was this?
A couple of years ago. It was, I think Oscar Isaac was in the movie.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was a decent enough movie, but before the movie even came out...
They tore it apart.
Yeah. People who worked for the Turkish government started...
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. Started,
review bombing it.
Doing the review bombing and giving it, like, you know, one or zero stars and stuff.
It's crazy, though. I'm like, let it go. Because I'm like, are these the same people that are going to cry when there are no more of these movies? As much as they bitch about Ant-Man and everything else, when it's gone...
I do think it's people just... putting a mob of bots out there.
I swear. Because I'll be in the comic store and you hear this, like, it's almost like you're afraid to say anything. Because I was with Keith the other day and he goes, hey, did you see Ant-Man? I said, yeah, it was fun. Wasn't like the other two, but they tried something different. Yeah. It was okay. It was good. Yeah, why does everybody hate it so much? I go,
Well, you know what else happens?
What?
If the movie doesn't make a gazillion dollars...
Yeah.
It's like there's a little weakness there, so they start attacking.
They start chipping away.
It's like a wounded fish.
I hear, speaking of fish, I hear that about Wakanda Forever.
Yeah.
Oh, did you see that? Oh, I can't stand that movie. I'm like, well, you know, they were in a hard spot. The lead was dead, and they tried to work around it as best they could. Oh, it's the worst movie ever made. I go, is it really the worst movie ever made? I've seen a lot. It was entertaining. I sat through it.
Yeah.
I was entertained. It was another story. Then I go, boy, how spoiled have these people gotten?
Yeah.
We're like hitting 40 Marvel movies pretty soon. Thor was the worst movie I've ever seen in my life. Really?
Well, look at the...
God.
They kind of did that with Shazam, too.
Shazam is undeserving of why it was... Well, that I blame solely on Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
They just did not market that movie.
Once the movie is a bomb... perceived as a bomb.
Everybody jumps on it, piles on.
It's the, someone's wounded.
Yep, blood in the water. Let's go at Superman, Shazam.
I mean, it's just a shame, but that's how, I mean, that's where we're at. And I don't even know, there's so many people who say they're fans, but they're not really fans.
Yeah.
Because it's cool to say you're a fan. I'm a comic fan. It's like, well, what comic have you read? You know?
Hey, read Frank Miller.
I read Archie when I was in, you know, high school.
No.
What have you read lately?
No, they don't read anything lately. But speaking of that, I have Tom Pyre and the guys from Ahoy coming to the show. And I just saw they put the trade out this week of My Bad by Mark Russell.
Right.
And The Second Coming. Yeah, that's out too. There's a lot of new stuff out there this week. I was looking on the other side of the wall because Marvel, if you hadn't heard, there was a truck fire and a lot of the books were damaged. So our store was not getting all the Marvels right now. We're waiting for them to catch up.
I was told that whatever came out this week was meant to come out this week, but that the ones from
last week
are
still delayed. Yeah.
Because they have to
I haven't seen Fury 1. That was supposed to be out, the new Nick Fury one shot. And there's a couple other books. Because Keith was... we're both there with our list. I go, you know, we could get in a car and drive over to Boom Tube. Because he had us them all there. Because he does not use Diamond Distributors.
Right.
He uses Penguin.
Oh, right. So he got
and they had no problem because it was a different truck.
Yeah.
I was like, I can't betray our shop. But I was like, you know, I'm getting the Jones here. I want to get my books. But there was fine. There was other things. We're about to see the Spider-Verse movie. I don't really have any preconceived notions on this. I like the first one.
Yeah.
I like the visuals on it.
Yeah, it was really cool.
That's kind of like why I was like, I'll go see the second one.
I mean, the cool thing in the first one to me was the all other Spider-Men.
Yeah, like, which is
cool
what this is.
See Nicolas Cage doing the kind of
noir, the shadowish one. Yeah, yeah. Well, this one's got Oscar Isaac as Spider-Man 2099, Miguel O'Hare, which I was always a big fan of. That was Peter David and Rick Leonardi. Who will be at Terrificon this summer.
So Rick canceled last year?
Yeah, well, he had to cancel last minute, but now he's better. And he will be there in less than 2 months, along with a lot of your favorites, like Amanda Connor, Jimmy Palmiotti.
Oh, they're coming back.
Chris Claremont. Yes, they are.
Cool.
Contacted me the other day. Jerry Ordway and his band.
He's coming back.
That guy. Can't get rid of him. Leaves a trail of breadcrumbs. He keeps showing up.
You leave a trail of beer crumbs.
Oh, yeah, beer crumbs. Is that a thing? They're bread soaked crumbs, like croutons.
Yeah.
You know, remember that dog Snuffles on Quick Draw McGraw? Hey, Jerry, want another bread crumb? And then you float down.
Well, want some beer history?
Yeah, go ahead.
Egyptian beer.
Oh, boy.
Was made from bread.
Well, yeast.
And it was, but no, it was made from bread. So it was actually kind of a mush because it wasn't filtered. So it was like they fermented it on the bread, which had the grain and also had the
malt spores.
Yeah.
Seriously?
Malt spores, yeast.
Yeah. Now, how does one define this knowledge, Jerry?
Because I'm curious.
Because I've been reincarnated. I am Rama Tut.
Well, when I did the Shazam book, I did a lot of reading on Egypt. I was intrigued.
Oh, I see.
Because I had to do flashbacks.
Correct.
I had to do stuff that related to it. So I just got a lot of information that not all of it was used, but, you know.
That's for the special beer issue.
But, I mean, beer, you know.
Shazam would be a good name for a beer. You want just Shazam?
Have a Shazam beer.
A dark Shazam that could be the Black Adam flavor. That's your dark beer.
Dark,
the light one would be your Mary Marvel. And then for you kids out there watching your calories, Captain Marvel Jr. or Shazam. Well, Shazam Jr.
Yeah, Captain Marvel Jr. would be the non-alcoholic one.
Yeah. That's like the O'Doul's. And then you really want to rock your block, you'll have a Dr. Savant. No, I'll have a Mr. Mind.
Yeah.
You'll blow your mind Mind.
A talkie twanny.
That sounds like a martini.
That would be like an aged imperial, you know.
You have to drink with your fingers out. Yeah. Speaking of which, Fingers Out, I don't know how I jumped onto this one.
I love that movie.
Fingers Out, Knives Out. Did you watch Ted Lasso's last episode?
I still haven't watched
it. I started watching it, I fell asleep. So.
I've been watching FUBAR.
Oh, how is it?
Arnold show. It's fun. It's just exactly like a fun Arnold movie.
Oh, I didn't even think it was going to be good, so I didn't bother.
No, it's fun.
All right.
It's not anything, you know, it's not going to win any Emmys, but it's him as you expect him.
And how is he, like, over the top, or is he just, at this point, don't give a shit?
He's the same as he is.
Well, that's what they all become. Like, Stallone and Harrison Ford. Yeah. It's like, well, they're not acting anymore.
I mean,
like,
there's comedy in it. It's his daughter. It's like a family thing. There's some good bits. He's still trying to win his divorced wife back.
Is this legit? Oh, this is the show.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought Maria Shriver was on this. No, that ain't gonna happen.
No, it's actually
fine. I didn't mean to sleep with the maid. Yeah. I thought it was you. All right, we're gonna come back later on. See you, kitty.
A really quick resolution, and then like, wait, what?
Wait a minute. We'll start right now. No spoilers, of course. No. Tell this now. Jerry did not know. Watch out for this car. Jerry did not know, but I knew this is part one of a two-part story.
Yeah, I did.
Because I knew this a while back that they had so much story that they put it together, and they're like, we can't do this in one movie. We're going to have to split it into two.
And of course, we're talking about Barbie.
Yeah, we saw... No. What's this one? Across the Spider-Verse. Yes. The next one is Beyond the Spider-Verse? I don't know. Something about the Spider-Verse.
The
battle beneath the planet of the Spider-Verse. Okay. Here's this thing. It's one of these movies where, again, I don't want to be pretentious, but as an artist who went to school for art and yourself too, and you made a living with it, and appreciating all the styles of art, all the different, variations and stuff, the beginning of this movie is amazing. I sit there and I don't even know how they make this movie. I understand animation, but I don't understand how they make this stuff because it's like every filter in Photoshop on acid. It's like everything is going crazy.
But it's got brush strokes.
It's got brush strokes. I love when I call them Zip-a-tone. Well, what do you call the dots?
Yeah.
Like the printers.
Like
a screen process. Screen dots. Yeah. That's why when I'm watching the characters.
Half-tone screen.
I don't care. I don't think the rest of the audience. By the way, the audience was, we were, if you cut my age in half, I think that was what the audience was. Because I see mostly young kids, which was nice to see. A lot of 20-year-olds, a lot of 30-year-olds.
Hey, were there any like old guys?
We were the old guys. We were it, Jerry. We were the old guys.
They didn't look like
no. When the lights came on, they were like, "How these guys get here?" I'm like, "Hello, everybody. How are you?"
Hello, everybody.
But I'll tell you, one thing. Fast forward to the end. Everybody was clapping at the end, even though it was a two-parter. They had such a good time in this movie, and I got to tell you, it's written. So I know it's animated. But it's written so well that I actually missed the human part of the story with him and his parents and stuff, Miles and his parents. Then when they went to the all action and they showed all the dimensions, it's great to see, but I actually started missing the other part of the story. I go, are they going to go back and talk to his dad and how's this going on with his mom and everything like that? Because
there was good humor in it,
It's well written. It's at Rosie Perez is the mom, the voice of the mom. I don't know who the dad is, and I don't know who Miles is, but there are Haley Steinfeld.
Wasn't the dad the Brian Tyree guy?
Yeah. Haley Steinfeld, who was in the Hawkeye show. She's the voice of, not Gwen Stacy. Yeah, it is Gwen Stacy.
Yeah, here. She's Gwen, Spider-Gwen.
Spider-Gwen, yeah. But, and it's, there's so many, I'm not going to, again, I don't know.
There's a bunch of stories.
I don't think you could spoil the story because it's so crazy.
Well, I mean, they did an interesting thing with, it's basically the basic concept of Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Where he's got his dynamic of his Uncle Ben, his Aunt May, and,
yeah, the basic like storyline.
They kind of almost show Gwen's setup, which how it parallels, Miles's.
Yeah.
It was that was interesting in that kind of
way. I know. I was watching it going, I don't really know the story of Spider-Gwen. I kind of don't. I don't read the comic, but I was like, oh, that's pretty clever,
Well, because she had her Captain Stacy.
Yeah. But you know what's cool is this scene. They use a lot of screen grabs and a lot of artwork from real comics and real Spider-Man TV shows and cartoons and movies. Everything Spider-Man. I didn't see Nicholas Hammond in there. I wonder if you slowed it down. Would you see the Nicholas Hammond Spider-Man?
Well, did you notice that when they showed the first comic, the Amazing Fantasy?
Yes, they had a different dude.
It looked like Stan Lee. was being saved.
Oh, is that who that was? Because
yeah,
I couldn't understand.
Yeah, Stanley, that's what I thought.
I was like, "Who's the dude that is swinging?" Yeah,
the beard. He had the long.
Oh, yeah,
because the beard in a suit. He looked like 1970s.
You know what? That's who it was. Because I'm sitting there going, "I don't know who
and
that
they
old
showed
dude
it a
is."
Couple times,
they did. It was floating by the screen, and I'm like, "Who's the guy that Spider-Man's saving?" Yeah. But you're right. It's the old hippie version of Stanley, the 70s baby with the gold chains and shit. But I don't know. It's hard to describe. It's visually stunning. It's crazy looking.
It looks like it's painted at times.
Yeah.
I mean,
what do they call
the
model?
Brush strokes as almost like a dynamic aspect.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool.
And then I liked, oh my God, the Da Vinci thing was hysterical because he's what did you come from a Da Vinci world? And everything looked like a Leonardo Da Vinci painting. I was like, that's vulture, pretty clever, you know? And I was like, and then he's like, paper,
I'm
what?
I'm going straight.
You're going straight.
Do I have a light? Or no?
Well, you're going to stop at the red light. Yeah, and then the next light, you're going to keep going. I mean, honestly, that's clever.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there going.
Was that in a comic that you remember?
No, I don't remember a Da Vinci comic.
A vulture with the Da Vinci wings and the
no, but I'm sitting there going, imagine those guys, Miller and Lord, you say,
yeah,
and they did Solo, but they got fired from it. But they did the Lego movie and they did the first Spider-Verse.
Well, they did 21 Jump Street, 22 Jump Street.
But wasn't there another big hit they had?
You said the Lego one, right?
Yeah, that's them, right? Yeah, yeah.
Well,
I think they did the Lego Batman. Didn't they do that one too?
Yeah, I think they did. The first.
Because there's a Lego thing in this movie, which I'm like, I wonder if it's a nod to their other movie.
They did the first Lego movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, the 21 Jump Street, they did that multi-screen.
I never saw those movies.
They're very funny.
Oh, you mean when it's framed like a comic book? They did that in that movie too?
Like in the 70s, they would do those movies where they had...
Yeah, they had multiple scenes going on. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't know. I just it's different. I'll tell you that it's different than the other movies we've seen because you know all the other stories and like, okay, we're gonna wait for this and we're there. But here's the one thing about this multiverse thing. I'm starting to think we already saw it with Spider-Man. Oh, No Way Home.
Yeah.
We just saw it in this movie. We're gonna see it. Well, you're gonna see it in a couple weeks at the Flash movie when you're gonna take a left at the light when he goes in. You know, meets Michael Keaton and all that. Is it a crutch, though? Is it like, oh, look, we can give you guys everything you want now? It's like we don't have to try to think how are they going to meet each other. It's like multiverse. Everybody meets each other. Bye-bye.
The thing is, it feels like they're definitely jumping onto something, but DC is the one who started the
multiverse. Yeah, I know, but I'm thinking, is it going to be too much of this multiverse stuff? That's all I'm saying, because... There's a scene in here where they show all the branches, and it looks just like the thing from Loki, which looked like the thing from Doctor Strange with that tree.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, but can we just have a normal story again?
Well,
about
a good way of doing it. You know, it's a good visual. It's kind of like showing the family tree. You know,
yeah, but if everything is so cosmic and so big and multi, dimensional, what happened to just stopping like a bank robber? You know what I mean? It kind of weakens.
Even at that beginning sequence, it's like a bigger sequence than you expect.
Yeah.
You're
going to take a right.
It's bigger than you expect as well. Like, it's like, oh, it's just the vulture.
Yeah.
How is it hard to...
But it's like, bang, boom, bang, boom. It's flying at you. Maybe that's the storytelling the kids are used to. Because at some point, I was like, is this like a manga? An anime type
of
storyline.
All kinds of stuff in there, but I think it's mostly. I would bet it's mostly influenced by game stuff. And you're not a gamer. I'm not a gamer,
but I saw people clapping. Take a right.
Because stuff is like
Sony owns Sony PlayStation, and that's why.
But I mean, the gaming stuff is now more dense.
There was definitely a video game reference in there because I saw some kid down there start clapping at one point. He's like, yeah, they brought that in there. I was like, what are we clapping about? What is going on here?
Right.
You and I are like the old guys at the Taylor Swift concert. Like, what's happening? Why isn't that girl wearing more clothes? Is she okay? How old is she? Is she 16? Can she be legally allowed to do such things?
Should she be drinking champagne?
I know. What's happening here? Does her mother know about this?
What am I doing?
Well, you're going to stop at the light, but then you're going to take it. What do you call it?
What do you call it?
Well, that guy just blew the light. Well,
you don't have to stop
anymore. I know.
I think you're supposed to stop.
I noticed that. You're supposed to stop and then take the right. You're not just supposed to blow through it.
It's
you
bad.
You could turn right on red.
Anybody who is not in Connecticut.
No, lately it's just
drivers
like,
are like driving like New it's Jersey like suggestions. Drivers have always driven.
Yeah, it's like traffic lights. Those are suggestions. You don't have to stop.
You don't have to slow down in an intersection either. So
you're gonna follow this yeah. route. But going back,
no,
real
I want to go straight.
No, go because it's a closest, one way.
No, but that's the closest way.
But here, look. How can you tell simple stories like Daredevil?
Yeah.
How can you tell the street crime stories yeah. again, like well, Luke Cage? But it's I all think, like multidimensional,
right? But what's happened? It's just that they've opened that can of worms, and it's you know it's because the Spider-Man movie made a gazillion dollars.
So let's do it again,
right? I mean, it makes sense that that's their they're gonna.
But when will it peter out and go back to a simple story?
When people get
tired of multiverse? Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean. You can only ride so many roller coasters before you go, hey, you know what? I'll just sit this one out.
If you go, I mean, again, it depends. Like, for this type of movie.
Yeah.
When was the last one? Was it Doctor Strange?
No. Well.
You know what I mean?
They do stuff in this movie, obviously, they couldn't do in live action.
Well,
because
they can. They just. These guys, think about it. I don't
know about that.
You can do anything in live action because it's all CG.
I don't.
You know what I'm saying?
But I'm saying the Miles Morales character, I know it's animated, but I almost thought the kid was alive. For some reason, my brain's like, this
really
is animated,
well,
but it's well done. Yeah. It's not like you're watching the Toy Story shows where there's CGI and you're like, well, that's not real. This is almost like, even though it seems hand drawn, it's probably not.
No.
But they just. What is this guy doing?
Somebody's waiting for somebody to back out.
Yeah, but there's spots over there, dude. Oh, they're both getting out. Uh oh. It's going to be a rumble. Yeah. Okay. Oh, really? Come on, lady. But anyway, I swear I'm watching the movie because they do some modeling, if that's what they call it, later on in the movie, where the artwork style changed.
Yeah.
And you could see Spider-Gwen's features smoothed out.
Yeah.
So it didn't look like a drawing. It actually looked like she was a live person.
So... Should I just take a chance and go further, closer?
We got this one. You got one right over here next to this car that's backing out.
There's stuff here.
You got one right there.
Right here is where I gotta go.
Well, you can walk less, Jer.
Should I?
That way we can get hammered and just stagger back to the car.
Walk more.
Hey, people. All right, we're going to take a break. Go get that old pizza. Even though it says, even though the arrow, there's no one here but us. All right.
No, but what I was going to say is, I'm watching it, and the one thing that struck me
is
was
a tuna in the face.
No, the
what guy?
Stellan Skarsgård.
Wait,
Skarsgård.
Is he the blonde jerk?
No, he's the father of Alexander Skarsgård.
Yes, I know who he is. He's in the Marvel movies.
Yeah. Well, no.
Yeah.
He's in the Marvel. The Stellan Skarsgård.
He's the one that plays Eric Sefik. You do this every time.
I know, I always forget.
You take a left.
Okay.
If you go right, we're going to the ocean.
So, yeah, the guy who played the professor.
Yeah, the professor.
In the Avengers and whatever.
Yes, yeah.
He's got, like, the best part in that Good Will Hunting.
He's in Good Will Hunting? Oh, he's the
professor. He plays the science, the math professor.
I totally forgot.
I
didn't know he was in
there. That way?
Yeah, you got to take a right.
Okay. Yeah, no, I'm sitting there
Kate
going...
Kate Burton, Spa. Kate Burton, not related to Richard Burton.
So I'm watching this
one day we should just go into the Do Not Enter.
We'll go
just
backwards.
To see what happens.
Back into
I bet at this time of night there's not a lot of people there.
All right.
Look at this guy.
Yeah, I know, that's me.
Fucking Jesus,
if
that's
I
you.
Had and, third beer.
As my mom would say...
Like, where's my car?
There by the God, the grace of God go I. And I always say that. She goes, what does that mean? I go, well, without God's grace, I'd be that guy. She goes... Is that bad? I go, did you see that guy?
Yeah.
We just saw a person who looked like they came off the set of a walking...
recording already?
Yeah, now we are. The Walking Dead audition.
Yeah, he did kind of look like
but
that.
But you wonder, where's he going? What's his story?
Well...
The city has a...
What
was that story?
You hope show? He lives nearby.
What was that? Maybe he lives in the water.
The Naked City?
The Naked City. This is New York City. There's 9 million stories in here. This is one of them. We just passed by the...
This is one of the unhappier ones.
The tall, skinny guy who's wandering around after the... Maybe he didn't go to the movies tonight. I like the fact that the place is open over there, even though it's closed. Milford, the Pearl of the Orient.
Well, you know, if you don't really get do your thing early, everything closes.
I know.
So
you know what?
Here,
you know
right?
what? I'll tell you what. Yes, take a left. You know what? The sad thing about living in suburbia, well, here is even more rocking. We just emptied the pizza place at 11:30 at night. Where I live, I remember when we first moved there, it was like 7 o'clock at night. I remember driving down and going, oh, my God, everything's closed.
Nothing open.
The gas stations are closed. What has happened here? So now if you see, like, oh, the gas station's open at midnight, it's like, yes!
Yeah.
Midnight! Whoa, we're going to party hardy here, buddy.
Yeah, the excitement of having
New Haven, where I grew up, I mean, there was things open later after midnight. Yeah, but midnight. I think 24-hour bookstores.
Yeah, but that's because you had
colleges. Yeah, yeah.
So students at all hours.
But I remember it was a shock.
Yeah.
I was like, what is happening here?
Well, I mean, we used to always go through this. I remember with, like, even when my kids were littler.
Yeah.
We would go and try to figure out when my
take a right. You can take a right. We don't want to drive through Milford. Get lost.
When my kids were little, we'd go, you know, whatever, be driving home from someplace where we hadn't had dinner.
Fast light. Yeah.
And it would be
closed.
Everything's closed.
It's
why is everything closed at 7 o'clock on Sunday night?
Oh please.
There would be no.
You know what I just realized too? That liquor store, liquor. As you can tell in the pot that I suddenly become some kind of weird Long Island boss in New England. I don't know what dialect I get. But I was over at the Stop and Shop. We were talking about Goodwill Hunting. I was at the Stop and Shop. And it was, I say to you, open your liquor stores. I was telling those people. So Sharon and I pull in. I had to get the dog some food. And I walked over to the Stop and Shop. And the Carousel Liquor Store was open. When I walked in, and at 8 o'clock, I came out, and it was closed, and I go, I thought liquor stores were open, even the diner, the 24-hour diner is closed. What the hell kind of 24 hours are you? Oh, I say to you, Mr. Khrushchev, tear down your walls, even though that was
first one's New Haven, second one's New York.
Palookaville, Jerry. We're going to Palookaville.
Here's a sign.
We're saying go there. There's nothing open. If you're listening to this and you live in a metropolitan city that's open all night, like Metropolis.
Where you can eat at any time.
And you can eat at 2 in the morning. I grew up like that. It's like, oh, you want to go to diner? Sure. It's 3 in the morning. Sure. There's some fucking place open. Yeah. Here it's like, well, no, maybe the McDonald's on the highway's open.
I grew up in Milwaukee, and there were always there were 24-hour diners.
Well, where do you think Jeffrey Dahmer was killing people? Of course there was 24-hour diners. You had to get victims. But no, here, I remember hanging with my friends, and it was like, oh, well, you know, the Stop and Shop is open 24 hours. And we'd go there at 4 in the morning and watch them put lobsters in the tank and there was nothing to do. It's like, you want to go and, oh, no.
Yeah.
You got to be shitting me. They're doing construction?
I have no idea.
Oh, my God. We're going to get the Power Cosmic Podcast has gained a couple extra minutes.
Yeah.
Because now that we're on the highway.
The highway.
All I say to you, Jerry, you could actually get off this exit if you like.
Do you want me
and we can cut across near the old Hooters. And, yeah, you don't have to sit there.
Do you want me to do that?
Yeah, do that. Because who knows how long this fucking
Is. Always surprises me that we go this way, because I always figured we could go right to the connector.
We could, but you're the one driving.
Yeah, but you're the one who directs me.
Well, what? Okay, well, I'm directing you now. And this next scene, Jerry, I want you
now
to
now we're
going to
go to the
catharsis. We're going on the Milford connector. This means nothing to the people that listen to us in Saskatchewan.
I don't think anybody's listening.
Oh, yes, there is. We're going to say hey to Wayne out in the great north up there. Great white north.
That's where Tom Grummet was.
Nobody lives in Saskatchewan. I remember when he took the flight to go to Turficon. It took him like 30 hours. It was like the Indiana Jones plane. We're going straight down this road past the old Hooters. God rest his soul.
Still straight?
Keep going straight. Move over. Because we're going to go to New Haven.
Yeah, no, I thought we were going.
Well, if we go to New Haven, we're in good shape because there's places
Places that are open.
Nueva Havana.
So we're basically going back the way we came?
Yeah, but to the
Are we going to the right?
We're going to the right.
Oh, so we're not going
to
go.
Means nothing to anybody right now.
I got you.
So anyway, Spider-Verse. Yeah, where you going, buddy?
I'm just saying, like
the Spider-Verse. They went into it, Jerry, and there was a lot of Spider-Men, and they ran around.
That was actually, I mean, you could certainly watch that on DVD and freeze frame.
Very interesting. See that Super 8 Motel? All those cars parked there. Think they're all hookers?
I hope that they're all not hookers. Some have to be customers, right?
Well, look, the ShopRite's open late. We can go hang out there. We can record a podcast in aisle 9. Yeah.
Probably stocking.
You guys got any bread?
Look at all the trucks. They're probably stocking the shelves.
They are. And right over there is the Tesla dealership. No, so going back to Spider-Man.
Mac and out.
now that Spider-Man knows he's this interdimensional being,
right,
and they can go, doesn't that kind of take away a little bit? It's like, well, I thought he was just Spider-Man.
Yeah, but
He's a galactic traveler. Even the Dunkin' Donuts is closed. Yeah. Like, Jesus Christ.
I mean, I think, don't you think some of it is
too much?
No, I mean, it's its own thing because it's not...
But he's Spider-Man. He's not the Green Lantern.
But I mean, the story is not the Peter Parker Spider-Man necessarily.
No, no.
It's like, here's the Miles Morales and here's our gig. We're doing Spider-Verse. So, yeah. I mean, I think it's specific to that.
Did we just miss the turn on?
No.
We did.
There was no sign.
No, it's over there. Yeah. Okay. I was going to say, where's the connector? Did you notice there's a lot more walk-in clinics lately?
Oh, hell yeah.
Why? Are the people
because
getting sick?
Money in it. Yeah.
Every time I look, there's another walk-in. Even that's closed right now. Well, we're getting quiet because Jerry's going to get on this darkened road that we hope is the connector.
There we go.
Now it's back. We're almost there. So, yes, dear listener, we were talking about the Spider-Verse. Very good cinematic elements.
Well, I mean,
good pacing.
There was a ton of stuff stuffed into this thing. There was a lot of story.
Did you know it suddenly calmed down with the artwork style after a while? I noticed that towards the end of the movie that everyone was more... It was more of a realistic animated thing.
Don't you think that
stepped
it seemed
away.
Like they saved a lot of the extra effect things for action scenes?
Yeah.
I think that was the thing. I think when they were doing the more quiet scenes...
The scale was a little...
more color...
There was a certain scene that I'm like, how big is this scale?
Oh.
When he was in the Indian... most called Mumbaiopolis or something. It was Metropolis. Okay, not spoiler, but there's a building that's coming down.
A building.
We're talking not like a scaffold. A whole building is collapsing on top of a bridge. And Spider-Man, Miles Morales, and the other Spider-Man people... saved everybody.
Right.
But I was like, how? We're talking Superman stuff. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, wait, he's just a guy that spins webs. Suddenly he can stop skyscrapers from falling on top of people? And I was like, the scale of his powers were all over the place. I'm like, I don't know. Spider-Man's
pretty powerful. I just think, don't you think it's, if you're paying attention.
Well, you saw him hold onto the bus.
Yeah.
That was a pretty big trick for Spider-Man.
Right.
But I'm
like, if you're doing it in comics, you know that there's a limit. And that's why I like the Steve Ditko thing, which they did a little homage to.
I saw that.
Where he's pinned down.
Yeah,
he
lifted it up. Yeah. Now, I heard you laughing at the Ben Reilly stuff.
Well, because they gave him funny...
I'm well-defined with my muscles.
I've got well-defined muscles.
Yeah, I'm looking here. I'm looking here.
He was animated like he was drawn like a comic book.
Yeah.
And wasn't that like Alex Saviek did that character?
That's what I'm thinking. Well, I was asking you if that was like a Juergens...
But
it was in the 90s.
I remember Saviek might have worked on that.
On that blue sweatshirt look.
We had like the vest.
Yeah, the vest.
Because everybody was wearing vests.
Oh, yeah. That's at the time when everybody had those weird pockets everywhere. Like, I've got a holster pocket and I've got a giant gun and pouches.
Did you ever...
In the 90s.
Was your first time you ever saw Chris Claremont at a show?
In the 90s. Why? Would he dress like that?
He used to have like the
safari vest.
Like
a photographer pocket. I used to think of that. I had a Banana Republic vest years ago.
Yeah, we used to joke about it.
Yeah, and it had all these pockets
on it. Banana Republic.
Yeah, but it looked like you were a photographer. Like you had a zillion pockets in there. I had a blue one.
Seemingly, you'd have to have a Republic.
That's what Chris had. But anyway, I remember Chris Claremont was like, he looked like a safari guy.
He always had the safari jacket.
He had the look, yeah.
It was like a vest with like a gazillion pockets.
Yeah, like Marlon Perkins. Yeah.
You'd expect like if you wore a vest like that, you'd have to have like some shotgun shells.
Exactly. Yeah.
Maybe when
Banana Republic used to look like a truck accident with a Jeep. You'd walk in
They'd have the
gorillas
the
and stuff.
Hats.
Yes.
Right? The
yeah.
Hat with the
I remember. Remember the one at the Stanford Mall? You'd go in it and it had like a Jeep there with like bananas and monkeys.
Well, there were a lot of them in New York. I mean, they were like almost like Starbucks.
Were they that?
There
plentiful?
Were so many. Yeah, there were.
What I remember is they used to have great T-shirts.
Every
I used to buy the T-shirts.
Blocks, there'd be a Banana Republic.
Yeah, but there would be like T-shirts with alligators on them, and it's like the Banana Republic. But then it turned into, I don't know what it turned into. It's like
a
chic
trend.
Yeah.
Just like everything.
Remember the catalogs, the Banana Republic catalogs? It was like
everybody
that Jay
had
Peterman
a catalog. You know what? I was going through trying to.
I made those catalogs.
Trying to get rid of stuff. I have this box of.
You found old catalogs?
Well, I had catalogs that I saved.
Yeah.
For.
Don't you remember when you'd open your mailbox and there'd be tons of catalogs in there?
Like, but I had one. It was funny. It's like it was international mail.
I remember that.
And the funny thing now. Is when you look at it, it was from 1990.
Yeah.
And the clothing styles are so funny to look at.
Oh, God,
it was the baggy pants with the kind of...
With the pleats,
but they were kind of... The pleats were closer to around the ankles.
Yeah.
So it wasn't baggy there. They were kind of like
tapered.
Parachute.
Yeah.
And the jackets, like a linen-type jacket.
Yep.
And you'd wear like a silk T-shirt, basically, underneath it.
I'm wearing that now, Jerry.
It was just funny to see, like, time capsule of that.
Yeah.
But I'm looking at it going, okay, you know, I was just going to toss it in recycle. And then I thought, well, you know, this is an archive of 1990.
Oh, well, I like watching.
If I ever have to draw something from 1990, all I have to do is look at that catalog and then go, oh, I remember.
I would think the 70s had the worst clothes, but then I go back to look at videos from the 80s and 90s and go, oh, no.
Yeah.
They were worse then.
See, but they're not... I don't think of them as worse or better.
I remember the hair.
They're just very distinct to whatever that era is.
Everyone looked older.
Well, but here's the thing, too, is that when you're... If you draw that, for example, if you're going to go... You can't look at a catalog like International Mail 1990 and say everybody dressed like that because not everybody bought from that catalog.
Or Victoria's Secret.
Well, here's what generally happens with fashion is that... The more, outrageous or flamboyant look will come out, and a couple people will wear it.
Yeah.
If they're memorable people, within 5 years, everybody else will be wearing it, and that's when that trend is done.
Yeah.
Because it's become mainstream. You know what I mean? It's just like when you're drawing eras in comic books or whatever, you have to realize that... Not everybody bought new clothes out of that catalog.
I always thought that about that thing with the hats.
Yeah.
Like, did every single person wear a hat?
They did.
They really... Okay, because when I was, see books in the 60s, every character on the street, the male character, has a hat on.
The hats died. Well, they still lay it at John F. Kennedy because he was the first president to not wear a hat at his inauguration.
Yeah.
And so he did a lot of those appearances... Berlin Wall, whatever, he didn't wear the hat, and that killed hat sales.
No kidding.
Yeah.
All right. Because I always wonder why.
It tapered off. When I was a little kid, my mom got my brother, Joel, and both had, like, trench coats and hats.
Get out. What were you, Dick Tracy?
It was like that. But it was kind of cute, and we were like, oh, that's kind of cool.
You feel like an adult,
Of course, the first time I wore mine, the wind, we were downtown Milwaukee, crossing the bridge. The wind blew my hat into the water.
Oh, jeez, Louise.
I had it for, 2 hours.
2 hours.
But, it's funny. So I also have a bunch of Popular Science and Popular Mechanics from around 89, 90. Mm-hmm. And I think, okay.
The computer ads.
I could toss these things.
Yeah.
But then when I start looking at them, I go, as if I would remember them.
Like a reference photo.
Yeah, because it's like cell phone. There's a picture of...
Oh, it's a big brick.
The new cell phone of the future.
Yeah.
Be able to make a call from anywhere. And you see it, and it's this huge thing with a backpack and,
No, I get you.
But it's interesting. And the thing is...
Yeah.
How many of those survived? And I keep thinking, the magazines.
Oh.
Somebody needs to just take all these magazines off.
I purged all the stuff because I worked at Micro Warehouse. Yeah. So for 5 years, I had all this computer technology.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You look at some of the RAM and the processors. It's like 64 megs of RAM on the Apple IIc. And you're like, oh, my God, that's amazing for $3,000.
Yeah.
Now you can go buy that computer for like...
Well,
$200.
I remember like the maximum 128 megabyte hard drive.
Yeah,
128 megabytes.
Oh,
that's
my
not God. Even a good picture.
I know. I know. I had my Mac G2 or whatever it was, 710/66. It cost me $3,000.
Yeah, no.
And the monitor weighed about 80 pounds. Remember those big CRT monitors?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God. I
still have my...
the heat that that thing would give off. I'm oh my God, I'm on fire.
I had the... what was it? The Power PC.
Yes, Mac, yes, yes, yeah, yeah.
Was the System 9.
Yep. Yep. And it could use IBM programs, Jerry.
Well, it was $3,600.
Yep. It's nuts, isn't it? When you think about stuff.
But the trade-off is...
Yeah.
You're buying something that's not made in the U.S. anymore, right?
Not anymore.
So someone's not making a living making it.
I remember I used to upgrade my RAM. It was like doing surgery. You'd have to pop the top, and you'd have to put Ram chips in to make your thing faster. It was like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this.
You know? Well, you'd put it in, you make sure
it fit into the SCSI ports. Correctly. Oh, it was like doing surgery. Yeah.
Well, you had to take this, like a static thing, the anti-static
wristband. Yeah. I remember all that.
I remember
when Sharon bought me a modem for Christmas, I was so mad at her. She'll tell you this. I was like, what do you think? I'm some type of nerd? I'm going to go on the internet? I was like, really? 14.4? And she's like, I thought you'd like it. I go, it's stupid. And now, you know, here we are every single day. If you're listening to this podcast, you know I've adapted the internet ways.
Yeah, but I mean a modem,
you hear that bot sound? Boop, 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 boop. It sounded like aliens having sex.
And the thing is, it was so loud.
Oh my God! Sound. Yeah.
You know, you
are you on the internet watching porn? Oh yeah, I'm watching a 1-inch by 1-inch GIF of a lady taking her bra off. Oh, hot stuff, buddy!
I'm watching a pixelated little animation.
Oh yeah, I'll be there with you.
Money for nothing, and you chicks.
Oh my God!
Remember that video?
Yes, Dire Straits.
Little square pixel guys.
Yeah. Meanwhile, none of that. Imagine that technology, and you watch the Spider-Verse movie today. It's like, yeah, you couldn't do one frame of that movie with the technology from the 90s.
I remember Byrne was one of the guys who was ahead of his time.
No, don't you remember Pablo Marcos or whatever, the guy that did that digital Batman book?
No, that wasn't Pablo Marcos.
I thought it was.
Yeah.
It was Pablo somebody.
It was...
I had that book, Digital Batman versus... I still have that. It was a graphic novel hardcover. Yeah. Batman and the Digital, you know, Nightmare of Gotham or whatever it was.
Yeah, I knew him.
There was an Iron Man one, too.
He was like a... We knew him from Chicago Cons, and I remember him showing up one year dressed as, like, Boy George. It was that year that Culture Club was big. And then he got into computers. It was Zanz. The last name was Zanz.
Pablo Zanz?
It wasn't Pablo.
I thought it was Pablo.
No. But anyway,
somebody's probably listening going, no, it was this guy.
He had done a book for, he did the DC thing, but he also did a thing for First Comics.
I didn't know there was one of First Comics.
Yeah, it was a computer generated. But Byrne was like much at the forefront. He had his Mac SE.
Yeah.
And he'd figured out how to do an animation with it by just repeating two pictures.
Yeah.
So he'd have like a... You know, almost like Monty Python animation. He'd have like somebody's mouth opening.
You know what?
No.
It's 1999, and that guy I was telling you about earlier, the billionaire guy that would smile weird like a psychopath.
Yeah.
He comes in and he's trying to get people to invest in the software, the internet company. And he goes, "I want to do a video where I can say, if you believe that the internet's going to take off or something, I'll show you that pigs can fly." And he goes, "And when I say pigs can fly, I want to hit a button, and I want you to make a pig fly across the screen." And I looked at him, I go, "What?" He goes, "Yeah." So I figured out a way to do it by getting a picture of a pig and putting wings on it. And what I did was a PowerPoint, and I did each frame, like the wing was up, down, and below.
Right.
And moved it across the screen, frame by frame by frame by frame, like an old-fashioned cartoon.
Yeah.
And I just did the timing in between each frame, like tenths of a second.
Right.
So when you hit the button, it looked like the pig was flying across the screen because it was moving so fast. And that's how we did it. But I was like, I had no fucking idea how I was going to do this when the day started. And I go, you know, there's probably a way to figure this out. So nowadays, I'm sure you can just instantly type it in, like, show me a video of a pig flying. It's like, well, how big do you want it?
Yeah, no, I mean, everything was harder in those days. Byrne was doing this in 1987.
Oh, he was. Oh, yeah. This I was doing this 10 years later.
Yeah.
Hey, man, I was going back to that Superman thing. I just realized something. They talked about the writer's strike that hit the Superboy production back in the late 80s or 90s.
Yeah.
And then they ended up calling up the DC writers to come in. They mentioned Carlin, and they mentioned Andy Heffler, and they said they brought them in to work on the Superboy TV show because they were not part of the WGA, and that's how the Sauklins got around it, by having comic book like Kerry Bates and all those guys write episodes of the Superboy show.
Yeah,
do you remember that?
No, I don't remember it from that point. I remember they Jeanette Kahn.
They talked about filming Orlando.
Well, they were like really concerned about Superboy because it was pretty bad.
It was. They talked about how bad the first year is.
So she negotiated to have Andy Helfer and Mike Carlin go once a week.
Yeah.
Take a flight to Florida on a Friday night and work on script and story direction. And then they'd fly back on Sunday night and they'd come back to work on Monday. And they did that for quite a while.
Well, the show lasted 4 years.
Yeah. Well, I think what Carlin, I remember him talking about his big goal so that they wouldn't have to do that was to hire a head writer.
Oh, really?
And they wound up hiring Stan Berkowitz.
Yeah, I remember seeing his name in the credits.
Berkowitz wound up working on the cartoon, the Superman cartoons, and he definitely did a lot after that.
Yeah.
But once they got him, they felt more confident that they could. And that's when the show actually, those later seasons were actually pretty decent.
But yeah, they talked about how dark they went in the fourth and fifth season.
Yeah.
By the way, they mentioned that Superman animated show that bombed horribly in 87 after Byrne's relaunch. Do you know what one of the reasons why? They put it on at 7 in the morning.
Yeah, but they couldn't. I mean, that's not something that anybody.
Well, no, they said that was such an early time slot for like little kids that a lot of people didn't see that Superman show because it ran so early.
I mean, it's not a great show.
Oh, they said it was actually pretty decent.
It's on DVD. I don't know if you ever saw it.
I just got the what do you call ones?
Gil Kane worked on it. Marv Wolfman was like the story editor. They actually introduced Cat Grant.
Yeah.
And but it's not great because network.
Mike Farrell was the voice of.
I'm saying like the network shows were just. They had to go through too many hoops.
Oh, well, it was interesting. Here, I'm going to find out who wrote that Superboy, that Superman book, as we're talking.
Can you do that without?
I think I can. We'll find out. Oh, well, I don't know. If the show just ended, you'll know I fucked up. It was called, my library on Audible, by Glenn Weldon.
Huh.
No, it's still going. Hey, man. Glenn Weldon wrote the unauthorized biography of Superman, which is on audible.com, and it's about a 10-hour long thing. And I was like, okay, there you go. What do you listen to on Audible? I know you listen to a lot of stuff.
I listen to books.
I know, that's what this was. I was like, oh, okay.
I just listen to...
I find myself listening to more biographies as I get older.
I like biographies. I listened to Michael Mann, who wrote,
Michael Mann, the director?
The movie Heat.
Yeah.
He
made
wrote,
Crime Story, Miami Vice.
Yeah, he wrote a book.
Manhunter.
A book called Heat 2, which is a continuation. It came out last year.
Now, what? It follows the Pacino character?
Yeah, mostly because he's survivor of the
movie.
Also follows, and it does like a flashback that was really good. It's actually very.
That sounds cool.
It's
actually
a good book. It's just Heat 2. It's written with Meg Gardner, who I'm not that familiar with, but it's a decent book.
You know what bugs me about Heat? There's a scene in that movie that's lifted word for word from the TV show Crime Story.
Oh, yeah.
But then I go, Michael Mann wrote both, so I guess he was just stealing from himself.
Well, he actually apparently did Heat as a TV movie.
Oh, really?
That I think didn't air. It was like a pilot or something.
Oh.
And retooled it. As a single movie.
No, because I'm going to tell you the scene.
Is that gas station open?
It is open. We're not in Milford anymore. That's open to like 1 o'clock.
Oh, is it?
So.
I wonder if I should.
Why, do you need gas?
Well, I'm low. I got 2 bars of gas.
You'll be fine getting home.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just.
Well, you got that gas station down near you that's open.
Yeah.
You know, the one that's over by the Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah.
But no, there's a scene in the TV show Crime Story where Dennis Farina.
Yeah.
comes home and finds out his wife's cheating on him with another guy. And he goes, you could come into my house, you could eat my food, sleep in my bed, but you can't watch my color TV. And he takes the TV and he brings it into the car with him and he walks out of the house. He goes, you can sleep with my wife, but you're not going to watch my TV. And then he gets in the car and then he stops at a light and he opens the door and he throws the TV out the window it's on the curb. I'm watching Heat with Al Pacino. Pacino comes home, finds his wife cheating on him. He goes, you could sleep with my wife, you could eat my food, you could sleep in my bed.
It's a great
you
can line. There,
but you can't watch my color TV. And he takes it. I go, wait a minute. You fucking just ripped yourself off. And I go, well, I guess if you wrote both of them, you're not ripping yourself.
Why not?
Yeah, it is what it is.
Anyways, that's a good book.
That's a good book.
The one before that, I've been listening to, I really enjoyed Herman Woke.
Oh, really? Winds of War guy?
Winds of War. He also wrote the Caine Mutiny.
He did?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He wrote this book. I guess I buy stuff when it's on sale.
I do, too. I go, oh, look. I actually listen to Jaws. If you ever listen to the book Jaws by Peter Benchley, it's not like the movie. I mean, there is a shark and there's the same character names, but there's a whole other weird subplots going on there. Like, Brody's wife is having an affair with the Dreyfus character. I'm like, what? So, and the newspaper reporter plays a bigger part in the story.
A book is going to have more depth or more...
Yeah. Actually, the book is different from the movie because, spoiler alert, the Hooper character gets killed.
Yeah.
Only Brody survives at the end of the Jaws book. I was like, oh, well, that's interesting. But Peter Benchley. Remember The Deep?
Oh,
then he did a book, The Island, too.
Well, The Deep, the big deal was like, that was
Jack Bissett's wet t-shirt. McNulty
and Jack Bissett.
And Robert Shaw.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're almost at my house. Nothing else.
My Power Shazam.
Go get Power Shazam Part 2.
And next month.
All your Marvel Star Wars books come out. And then Jerry's working on a page for All Star Squadron.
Not All Stars,
JSA. Well.
Yeah.
And then we got Terrific Con. And then by the time you listen to this, maybe I'll put it up this weekend.
When are you going to your...
I will be in Los Angeles on July 13th for a premiere for a movie, Indiana Jones. And then Jerry's going to have to go see The Flash by himself. I will not be here.
So should I do my own podcast?
You can do your own podcast. Hey, everybody, Mitch isn't here. Jerry's here by himself.
I'm just going to do it, though. I'll do it.
No, I feel bad because...
I'll do it on index cards.
Well, I have to wait because I want to go see that.
Mail like a...
I will have to see that movie.
Self-addressed envelope and I'll put... Like, my
31 years ago, I got engaged and I came running home after we got engaged and
That was Batman Returns.
It was on June 18th that weekend and I said, I know we got engaged and all that and it's cool, but I have to go to the movies. Because I have to go see what happened to Batman. Because there was no internet back then.
What do you remember about 89, though? Because that was the...
Oh, 89. I saw that movie.
Indiana Jones.
It's like the summer of 89. Yeah. We saw Indiana Jones. We had Batman.
So you have Indiana Jones,
we
Batman.
Had, no Star Trek movie. Yeah. There were so many movies out that summer.
But there was also...
Roger Rabbit, I think, came
out.
Wasn't
there an Aliens movie out that year, too?
It might have been Aliens Resurrection or something. Or four. Wait, three. Three.
Yeah.
When she was in the prison? Is that the third one?
Yeah. I don't know if that...
Oh, yeah, they killed Hicks and everybody.
There was definitely
Speaking
the
of Hicks,
movie.
Michael Biehn will be at Terrificon on July 27th.
Oh, cool.
This is one big ad for Terrificon.
Yeah.
And in the beginning of the show, I'm going to put an ad on there, too.
So who's... You said you just got Rebecca Romijn.
Oh, you know who's coming to the show? I mentioned her on one of her reviews before. When I went around.
Who?
Grace Curry.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Who is Mary Marvel.
Mary Shazam.
We can't call her that.
No, Mary Marvel.
And honestly, not only because I like the movies, but my mom's favorite character, which you were nice enough to draw a picture for my mom, of Mary Marvel. I said, you know what? I talked to the agent. I said, do you have this actress? He goes, yeah. I go, well, my mom loved Mary Marvel, and, you know, so can we bring her to the show? So she will be at Terrificon. By the time you hear this, I haven't even made her graphic yet. So she'll be there along with a bunch of other people. You know who's coming? A stuntman, Tate Fletcher, who, if you watch The Mandalorian, he was the Jon Favreau character.
Oh, yeah.
Jon Favreau is not in that suit, by the way. Spoiler alert.
Oh.
That's not him in that suit. That's just an actor, and he's there. He was also in Breaking Bad. Did you watch that show?
Yeah.
He was on Breaking Bad. Big bald guy with a beard and a mustache.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's kind of generic.
Well, I didn't watch Breaking Bad. I don't know. Is Tyrone? Is that a character?
I don't know.
I don't know. By the way, Jerry's also got a brand new book out. Where's the thing? It's in the car. Oh, wait, I got it. If you get the thing omnibus, Jerry's got... What do you got in this one?
Didn't this come out like last year, though?
Yeah, it weighs about 30 pounds. No, I got it.
You're going to wreck it?
No, nobody cares. Mike Carlin did a lot of writing on this book.
Yeah. Mike wrote the thing.
It's The Thing by Marvel Comics. It's
they also included other important Thing stories, including there's the Fantastic Four.
The Thing issue 1 through 36, Fantastic Four 274. It wasn't that bad.
I'm sure
price.
It's the 274 must be the one that... Was it 274?
This even has the Hulk and Thing by Jim Starlin and Bernie Wrightson, which is actually a good
one. Here that, yeah, this is the one where it's a split yeah. story. One half was the Thing, and one half was the Doctor Strange. It was a Mephisto, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you got a, what do you call for that this week?
I got a
royalty check. And you were like, what am I getting money for?
I got a statement, so the check will come
next. Whoa. Oh, there you go, kids. Yeah.
But actually, surprisingly, Marvel must sell pretty well with the omnibus.
Really? This one?
Because
I bought it, and I was like, I didn't think anybody was buying this besides me.
The check is like for $198. That's more than I make for the
pizza's on you, Jerry. Really?
Yeah, you can barely buy an omnibus for the amount that they pay your royalty.
Wait a minute. You're telling me you got a check for $190 for one?
I didn't get it yet.
Yeah, but you will. But yeah. For one book?
I have two stories in there.
Yeah, but there's like 100 of them. There's a lot in here.
So it obviously sold pretty well. That's what I'm saying.
I didn't think it sold well at all.
The
I was
DC
like,
ones must not sell very well. Cause
well, they don't have...
never get anything.
Did you see... Well, you have every Daredevil, but the Daredevil omnibus number 2 came out this week. Of course, our local comic store doesn't have it, so I had to go online and buy it for at cheapgraphicnovels.com if you want to save. They give you 40% off.
Yeah.
It was $60, and you get like 40 Daredevil books in one big hardcover. Yeah. So that was kind of cool. I don't know.
Well, this book is, I think, it's like $80 on Amazon, the Thing.
Or you can go to cheapgraphicnovels.com and buy it for...
Yeah, but it said it was $120.
Oh, we'll do the math. Yeah.
So...
Did you get... I got our previews this week, but they didn't put the stupid Marvel insert. I go, well, what the hell?
Yeah.
They go, well, we got the other one in there, DC. I'm like, yeah, but the
Marvel
one. Yeah,
you said Marvel's always comes a week later.
Yeah, they say a lot of weird stuff. Anyway, that's it. I got nothing. I'm going inside. Maybe I'll try to watch the end of the Ted Lasso show.
It's 12:09.
I got nothing to do.
I got go to no bed. Life.
Well, there's that. No, that's why my wife wakes up. Why are you still up? I go, I was up watching Ted Lasso. Ted Lasso doesn't end the way I want it to end. And my wife goes, you're so dark.
But are we sure this is the end?
Oh, that nothing's ever the end. But I would have killed him. She goes, what?
So, no.
No. If
Well, you get depressed without sun.
Well, yeah, you do. But I'm saying, anyway, it's not an upbeat movie.
That's why you have to eat seal's livers.
I it guess, ain't so. No for... Do they eat seal livers here?
That's for cod liver is probably...
You know what's sick today? This is totally off the subject. Did you see there was a moose in Bristol today?
No, but I heard that two of them got killed over the last
month. Well, one got hit in North Haven.
Yeah.
And then
one of them was
the
up further up towards the...
Well,
Mohegan
one was in Waterbury. Oh, Mohegan. Huh?
Yeah. Well, like further up.
No, to the grossest thing today, I'm driving back from Mohegan's, coincidentally, and there was a deer on the side of the road. Like half of it, the lower half of it was gone.
Yeah.
Like the legs.
Yeah.
Maybe it's on the back of a truck now. But it's like its innards were like ballooned up like balloons. Yeah. Like they were all swelling up. It was nasty.
Yeah.
I didn't stop. I just saw it and go, Jesus Christ.
Well.
That's bad. Anyway, that's it. On that happy note, on suicide and dead deer
with
bloated. I went to Ted Lasso to kill himself.
With half a deer.
No, I thought maybe it would end and they have all the soccer balls spill out the word goodbye.
Yeah.
Like MASH.
That's funny.
No, it's not. All right, that's it. I got nothing. I'm going to go home and literally go watch TV.
Okay, watch
Go watch Spider-Verse.
Watch FUBAR.
FUBAR is good. Jerry recommends FUBAR.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I watch random videos on YouTube because I have no life. I watch a show about, do you remember all these cookies that are no longer around? And there's a lot of cookies that are gone. They have, like, potato chips. Do you remember?
Damn woke bakers. We can't have.
There's a reason why I can't have my Snackwell devil food cake anymore because they're like, hey,
they
fatty.
Woke.
They're gone. They're all gone now. Do you remember Drury cookies?
I do remember the brand.
Yeah, they're gone. And they had a little chocolate thing. Yeah. There was like a chocolate thing in the middle. And
right, it was like.
Do you know before Oreos there was Hydrox?
Yeah, I remember Hydrox.
Hydrox was the first one, but they stole the name.
Yeah.
Fuckers. Whatever. Nutter Butter's still there, I hope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't taste very good, though.
They, none of it tastes right anymore. Twinkies aren't the same either.
They don't have the strong...
They don't have the fattening. No. Yeah. It's all shortening. It's all corn syrup. It's all ball bearings. It's all plastic, Jerry. That's it. I don't know when you're going to hear me from me again.
Ever?
2 weeks from now. I'll be in Key West. Guy like me in Key West.
We should go to have pizza next week.
In Key West. All right, that's
fine.
Before
you go.
All right, good night.
Good night.
This has been a production of Big Fedora Marketing, LLC. The folks that bring you the terrific Comic-Con, GamerCon, and so much more. Thanks for listening.